Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
Before I attended Baptist Union Council this week on Wednesday and Thursday, I spent a few days at my parents' house. Swanwick, where the meeting was being held, is only about 5 miles from where they live, so I didn't see any point of trekking back down to Croxley after my mum's birthday last weekend and then trekking back up there. Got to think about the environment. But I was working Monday and Tuesday, and I thought it'd be good to find a quiet space to work in. So I decided to go and work from the library in the precinct in Kirkby and Ashfield, across the road from Morrison's. It's a place I know well from my childhood. I still remember where the box of children's books used to be, which had all those Dr. Seuss crazy American books in there, which I quite like to read. I still remember where the science section was. And I have to say, I had this blessing of going into the children's section and seeing Messy Church of Science on the children's shelves amongst all the science books. My dad talked me down. Taxi of mum and dad never ends, does it? It's also a very special place for me, this building, because my dad built it in the 1960s. It was his first big project. He said he'd come and have a look down the library with me, just for old time's sake. And as we were walking down one of the roads in Kirkby, what's called Lowmore Road, he bumped into an old friend who grew up on the same street that he lived on the other side of town, Harcourt Road. They played football together on the wreck. Do you know what a wreck is? Yeah, wreck. Like they got at the top of the road. They played football together on the wreck. And as older folk do, and maybe you know this, when you meet somebody in the street, you start to reminisce. Well, at least they do up north anyway. I'm not sure what happens down south. They do up north. Now, my daddy's 80. And his friend, it turned out, was 84. And they started talking about things 70 years ago on Harcourt Street. They talked about playing football on the wreck, and they talked about somebody else who used to play football there with them, who they hadn't seen for quite a while. And his dad's friend then said, well, you know, I only moved down here from the northeast when I was 15. And I was so glad when he said to me, when are we going to see you down the wreck playing football? When are we going to see you down the wreck playing football? An invitation that was 70 years old. Meeting a young teenager who'd moved town from one end of the country down to the south into the Midlands, perhaps wondering what life was going to be for him, what friends he would have. A memory of somebody meeting them at a significant point of need in their lives. And 70 years on, still remembered as significant. It says something about the best way that faith is shared. The vast majority of people who become followers of Jesus don't do so because somebody standing at the front of a church, even wearing a dog collar like this, talks to them about Jesus. No, it begins with an invitation from someone close to them, from friends, from family. That's friendship evangelism. Not a technique or a method to learn, just an observation over decades that people have seen as people have listened to stories of people who have come to faith. It often begins with a friend, someone close to them, or a family member, sharing with them, giving them an invitation. Let's get a few things out of the way before we go any further about what we mean by friendship evangelism. This is not about making friends for the sole reason to bringing them to church. It's not about being like an ambulance chaser, looking to be supportive for somebody in a time of need with the aim of getting something from them, mostly money in the case of ambulance chasers and solicitors. Nor is it like a salesperson who rings you up like they do and are very pleasant on the phone trying to sell you anything. We've got phone calls in this church trying to sell us anything from bathrooms to insurance to goodness knows what. When they tried to sell me the bathroom, I started talking to them about the baptistry and how to become a Christian. They soon ended that conversation, I tell you. No, it's not about being nice to people because you want a sale. You want something from them. No, we make friends. Well, we make friends for lots of reasons, don't we? Because we find people interesting and they find us interesting in return. Because we have a common background, or maybe we discover a kinship or interests in common together. Maybe we make a friend just because they bring something good out in us. And we bring something good out in them. And when you have something good that you have discovered, you want to share it with friends and family, don't you? The birth of a child, the start of a new relationship, news of your sports team. Yes, I did notice Watford won this week. Thank goodness for that. Mansfield won as well. Thank goodness for that too. Maybe you've had that great holiday that you've been on. You can't wait to tell people about it. Or maybe it's that youth invigorating skin cream that is working wonders for you. Or in my case, if you have good news where there is an excellent barber who will do what they're told rather than cut me and shorn me like this, please tell me. I would love to hear your good news. Friendship evangelism is just that. It's sharing something that is so good and excites us so much that it just spills over from our lives into the lives of the people that we know. This is what we saw with Levi. He meets Jesus, this social outcast, this religious outcast, worse than that, a collaborator with the enemy. Not somebody you would want to remember on a day like today. A tax collector. And he gets this surprising invite, probably surprising to the people who are around Jesus and surprising to Levi. Jesus just says to him simply, "Follow me." And somehow that invitation has that power to release him. To let him know that he is accepted, given to this perhaps least likely of people to be invited to meet Jesus. And yet it's good news to him. And what's he do? Well, he does what he's good at. He's a rich man. He was a tax collector. He knew other tax collectors and people on the edge of society who called sinners. So what did he do? He throws a dinner party for everybody and invites Jesus to meet them. He meets with tax collectors and others. He wanted them to meet this man who had changed his life, who had valued him and accepted him and given him an escape route. But you know, I don't think this story about Zacchaeus inviting his friends around to meet Jesus, offering them an invitation, begins with him thinking, his friends have such a need of Jesus. I don't think it begins with them. I think it begins with him. It begins with his own life. It begins with his own experience of Jesus. You see, all of us who follow Jesus are and can be bearers of good news. But actually, only if you value what Jesus has done for you. Only if you value your relationship with Jesus. Only if you recognize what God has done for you in Jesus in releasing you from your sins and freeing you into a new life. Only if that is good news to you. Only if it's good news to you now. Continues to be good news to you now. Can you share it with anybody else? Do you remember at the start of this year we were looking at the Church of Ephesus? Maybe you don't. Maybe it's so long ago now that you've forgotten. But let me remind you, we were looking last year at this time at the book, the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. We finished it off in the new year. But right at the start of the year, we looked at the letter that was written to that church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation. And he has that killer line in it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. You have forsaken your first love. They were working hard. They were flogging their guts out. But they'd forgotten their first love. They'd forgotten how vital their relationship with Jesus. They'd forgotten what good news Jesus was for them. See, friendship evangelism begins with our own relationship with God. It begins with recognizing that we have a need that God meets in Jesus. It flows from our experience of God's transforming love in our lives. And if we don't have that awareness, if it's become some distant memory in our lives, then actually the call that Jesus gives all of us to share good news, to offer invitation, becomes a duty. And it becomes a duty that is not attractive to anybody, not least ourselves. So if we're going to grow in our overflow of the good news, it has to begin with us asking the question, how are you getting on with your first love? What does Jesus mean to you today, now? See, it begins with us. An awareness of our need and how God has met that need, but we also need an awareness of others' needs too. Because we need wisdom and insight how we might share something of what God has done for us to others. So actually sharing good news, offering invitation, doesn't begin with speaking. It begins with listening. Listening to your friends. Listening to God. Now, I don't know if Jesus knew Levi. Perhaps he'd heard of him ahead of town because, you know, notorious people, the outcasts, the outsiders, the people on the fringe of things, you know, people whisper and gossip about them, don't they? News of notorious people get around. But whether Jesus knew him or not, he knew his need. He was outcast, he was shunned. He was without friends other than people like himself. He was not valued. He was gossiped against. If there was ever anything like social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, he would have received lots of hate posts and be defriended by lots of people. But Jesus meets him where he needs to be met. Follow me, Jesus says to him. He lets him know that he's valued, that he can be part of a community. I wonder what needs your friends have that you meet through the week. What needs do your family have? Those you meet in U3A and social clubs or just down and around the coffee shops. Those you meet as you shop down the high streets of Watford and Rickie or around Croxley, those you meet at the different leisure places you might go to, or in your workplaces, or your neighbours, or in your own homes. What needs do they have? Friends often share their hopes and dreams with one another, their fears and their worries. As you listen, how might your own experience of meeting with Jesus, of God meeting you in your point of need, how might it speak to them? How does that make you aware of their own need? Well, you don't have to share the whole gospel all at once. Please don't do that. Please listen to where they're at. So small seeds, drop small pebbles in the pond that the ripples spread out. It's God's responsibility to change people, to love people, to change their hearts and their minds, their way of life. We work in cooperation with God. So we need to listen to our friends and our families. We need to listen to God. for the sense of when it might be right to speak, when it might be right to be bold enough to say, I'm going to pray for you, or would it be okay if I pray for you? By the way, if they say no, do it anyway in private. Or to give them the word of encouragement from Scripture that you find helpful. Shall I tell you the word of Scripture I've shared most often with people that I've met? It's my favourite line in Scripture. It's one of the shortest lines in Scripture. It's in Isaiah 42. It just simply says, a bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed he will not break. People have found that so helpful over the years in their point of need. You see, friendship evangelism for most of us is how the journey to faith starts. Maybe you had somebody who gave you an invitation to hear somebody speak, to have a coffee, just to chat about life, and maybe faith comes up. Somebody took a risk, somebody embraced an adventure to invite you. That's what happened to me. As I sat in the library this week writing this morning's message, my mind went to the story I remembered being told of my great-grandfather, who I did have the privilege of knowing into my teenage years. He had been a soldier in World War I on the front line in France. He'd been gassed, which affected his breathing for the rest of his life, and he lived into the 70s. And one day during an attack in the shell fire that there was, he was hit. Not killed, but buried alive in a shell hole. And that night, a friend of his crawled out of the trenches into no man's land and dug him out and dragged him back to the safety of the trench. That took some courage. That took some risk. But he knew the need. And it was a risk driven by love. Offering people an invitation takes courage, driven by love, the love of God that we know he has for us, for ourselves, and the love that he has for others that we also have. Friendship evangelism begins with knowing people well, those who know us well, warts and all. But we share Jesus because he brings life to us despite our warts and all. The God who won't break a bruised reed. Not us. Not others. That's who Jesus wants to meet with. That's who Jesus helps us to invite. We're going to pray together. I'm going to lead us in some prayer. I'm going to leave you some space to think about people that you know. Think about what God has done for you. So let's pray together. Think of a friend. Someone you value. Someone who's special to you. Someone who you have shared life with. Imagine their face, their smile, their look. What's special to them about you? What's special to you about them? Gracious God, thank you for our friends, our relatives, work colleagues, acquaintances. Thank you for all the good things that they bring to our lives. Thank you for who they are and for who you created them to be and become. And think about someone you know who has a need in their lives, who shared their dreams and their fears with you. How might Jesus see them? What would Jesus want to say to them? What would be good news to them? How might you bear good news to them? Send your Holy Spirit upon us and set our hearts ablaze with love for you, that we might see them through your eyes with love and compassion. And help us to see afresh the wonderful news that we have for them, that through Jesus we might have a way back to you. Empower us afresh, that we might minister from the overflow of our hearts. That's where we want to stay for a moment. The overflow of our hearts. Just a little time to say to Jesus what you appreciate of what he has done for you. To refix your first love. To ask Jesus to help you be a love bearer, a peace bringer, a sharer of good news. Jesus, help us to start at home and in the communities we live in, by taking courage to sow seeds of grace in the lives of people we meet. We pray that you would water those seeds through your Spirit, and we might become like the disciples in those first daunting days, who stepped out in faith to spread the word that Jesus has died for us all, and because he is raised, that we might all live and know God's love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.